for the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show with me, Tim Fuel, back with our weekly look at the world of non-league football. And quite a week as well, this one. And I'm pleased to say that I'm back with Mr. Dave Anderson via the power of the internet. Welcome back, Dave.
Hey, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling more football this week. I don't know. I've made a trip back up to the old studio in Hazen Yedding Ground, so maybe that sort of helped to get a bit more of the flavour. But you know, as people are preparing to head off to the pub this weekend, where you've got to give your name and address, certain parts of non-league football, they're gearing up to play the beautiful game. We're going to hear more from our two guests shortly who are trying to gear their teams up to play in these games. But I wonder what your thoughts were, Dave, about football, you know, coming back.
Yeah, brilliant. You know, albeit that it's behind closed doors and I suppose we won't get to see it. But I'm happy for the people involved, Tim, because, you know, the playoffs are something that, you know, it's hard to get to. It gives them a chance to at least complete their season that way, albeit 3 points per game or whatever sort of rhyme or reason that they got to it. But they'll want to finish it off, so I'm pleased for them. I think it'll be strange, you know, big games with no people, I feel, are strange. It sounds very strange. And obviously the gap from... when was their last game? You know, we're talking weeks and weeks ago now, aren't we? You know, I remember before we played at Wembley, and we might have had a 2 week gap, which seemed an awful long time, but we managed to get a program together that fitted it perfect. But I'm not sure how you go about this because it's not as if you can even have a couple of friendly games, is it?
Well, no, we'll talk to the managers about that and how they are going to prepare. But also, like when you mentioned you were playing this big game at Wembley, we've had an announcement today just before we recorded this that the National League playoff final is going to be played at Wembley, as you say, behind closed doors. But that's going to be, for some of those players that get that, it's going to be the biggest game ever in their lives. You know, you were when you got there for the VARS final. You had family, you had friends, but you had, as you mentioned, all those preparations. You know, so that people knew on the day what it was like. But they can't even make those sort of arrangements, can they?
No, it's a shame. You know, it's a shame because it's such a big day in your football career and your football life. You know, that you know. Listen, my wife's probably seen 3 or 4 of my games out of 2,000, but one of them was that Aura and the kids came to Wembley and sort of seen it. And so it's a real bittersweet thing for them because as much as they'll all want to get the chance to get to the final and win promotion, albeit that they'll all want to, who doesn't want to go and play at Wembley? It's just a bit, you know, it's sad that they'll have to do it in an empty house, you know.
Yeah, well, it's football back, but not football as we know it, I guess.
I think, yeah, it is. And the funny thing you're saying about going to the pub with, you said you go to the pub and you have to have your name and give your name and address. It just reminded me of being in, I went to the Isle of Man with the Wimbledon guys on a freebie jolly up, for want of a better description. But the guy who took us there had a pass that sort of got us into, that was the TT, and it got us into the pits and stuff like that. But that was, and it got us into a beer tent, you know. But on the other side of this pass, a bit like the BBC pass, Tim, you know, the one you put around your neck with a Wembley pass, that sort of thing. But on the other side of that was the name and address of the hotel we're staying, and it said, "If lost, please return to hotel blah blah blah." You know,
and you've been using the similar principle ever since you've been out drinking.
Yeah, yeah. It just reminded me of that. So, but you know, listen, beer's back, football's back. You know, we're sort of getting back.
Yeah, let's hope that there's some decent football to be played as well. Again, I'm dipping in and out of these games that are on the TV at the moment, and I certainly felt sorry for the guys that I know down at Exeter. For they played their playoff final, obviously, at Wembley behind closed doors, and it was probably a couple of games too early for them, I think.
Yes, it's a difficult thing to pitch. You know, you can have as many training games. When I seen it come out, and you know, I sort of thought, even with the North and the South, if they could even have a friendly against each other before they played their own, you know, so the North side against the South side, you know, that gives them all a competitive fixture because they're all in that bubble. Maybe something, but it's very, very difficult to go into any game after the gap that we've had. It's like starting a season without a pre-season, really. We've 6 to 10 pre-season games every year to get us up to speed. This is proper hit the ground running stuff.
Yeah, well, I was saying to somebody yesterday, getting behind the wheel of a car, I've done some little short journeys, but doing a longer journey the other day, there's things that become almost like muscle memory when you're doing something on a regular basis, so you don't need to think about it. And I guess it's going to be the same for some of the players. That match, when we talk about match fitness, that is something that comes naturally. But if you've been out for 3 months, maybe 4 months for some of them, it's not going to come naturally immediately.
No, not if it's one game and it's such a massive game, because the energy you expel before you get on the pitch in big games is a real, you know, it's something that managers and staffs will be talking to their players about, to try and stay calm and in the moment. Because, you know, a lot of times people used to say about the old Wembley turf, I just thought it was the occasion that it takes so much out of you before you actually walk out onto the pitch. So to have that without having 15, 20 games under your belt, it's just going to be tough. But listen, I'm sure if we ask, you know, Jono and Kingy, would they rather have this or something else, they'll go with this.
Well, let's see what they got to say for themselves. So this week we've had confirmation that those clubs who qualified are set to compete in the National League playoffs. That includes our next guest, who's no stranger to the show, to tell us more and welcome back old friend of the show, Anthony Johnson, joint manager at Chester FC.
Hey fellas, you okay?
We're good. Now, John, confirmation this week from your club that they've had quite an extensive review and assessment of the cost benefits of taking part in these playoffs. Running a club's difficult. It's been a big decision and a tough one, as we all wanted. Everybody wants to be playing football, but I understand why it's taken a bit of time to assess whether it was the right decision for the club.
Yeah, obviously, there was a bit of news a few months back where we had Stuart Murphy, who has been donating over the last couple of years to the football club. He's walked away from the club. So we've been left in limbo a little bit with that. And then obviously with the pandemic that's going on, with the coronavirus, etc. And for a fan-owned club, the lack of income, which our major income is, season tickets, shirt sales, all that normal stuff. Without having that available to us, we've obviously had no cash flow or anything. So the conversations surrounding do we want to take part were more to do with cost gathering more than anything else. Obviously, as a club, we were desperate to do something, whether it be the board or the players or you know, staff and fans. We were absolutely desperate to do that. But obviously, everything had to be in place so that it didn't affect what we was doing going forward, i.e. taking anything from next season's potential budget. The board sat down, they had a look at things. You know, as you said, they did a really extensive job in looking at what their costs would be. And we came to a conclusion, thankfully, that would allow us to participate.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you say about being fan-owned, because we always promote the model as to how fantastic it is. But as you say, it's almost created more difficulties for the club, I guess, because your income streams are reliant upon the fans being with you 24/7, coming out, in and out, using resources and things like that. So, as you say, almost all revenue sources have been brought to a halt. But it's been great to see fans rallying, you know, both your club and other clubs, and supporting their clubs with crowdfunding well, projects and
initiatives.
Yeah, initiatives. Yeah, yeah, that's the word. That's the word. It was too long for me to do on a Thursday afternoon. Thank you, mate. And it also sort of it highlights how expensive it is just to run a football club and just getting the games on. And under the COVID-19 protocols, which I'm sure you're going to tell us about shortly, that those costs are going to be increased as well.
Yeah, I think that the initial initiative, I've heard that word that many times, I can't forget it. That's why I prompted you with it. Was about boosting the budget for next season. The playoffs were still, well, 6, 7, 8 weeks ago, so the playoffs were probably not going to happen at our level of football. That was what we was told. It was looking like null and void. So we were thinking about next season, what that would look like. And generally, at that stage, you started to project what the budget is through season ticket sales, as we talked about, shirt sales, all that normal stuff. And we came up with we actually looked at what other clubs were doing, Darlington, who were really the pioneers of it over the last 2 or 3 years, of boost the budget, you know, where supports can make pledges. It's not just a one-off payment. They can make pledges, you know, over the year through monthly direct debit to help for next season. And the big thing for us was as you two know, that we went to hybrid last season. And our biggest USP to the supporters was this. We're not asking you to raise money so we can keep our star striker who we ended up losing or sign in a player to fill out the squad. It's about allowing us to stay within the hybrid model, which also was in line with a 5-year strategy document that we released as well. For us, it was massive that the supporters understood what they were paying into. Because far too often, I think we see these GoFundMe pages and other stuff like that where they raise a quick buck and it's spent on a player who might pick up an injury or might move on for better money down the line. So the way we did it, it was primarily to ensure and hopefully keep us in that hybrid model. And then obviously the playoff was confirmed that it was going to happen. And we, as I said, we sat down, we looked at cost cutting ways of making it viable. And for us, the biggest cost was wages, whether that be players, whether that be staff, whether that be you know, your basic or your bonuses. And as we, you know, we sat down, we talked about it. We sat down, Zoom call, we talked about it, what the pros and cons of it was. And it wasn't, honest to God, it probably wasn't a 90-second conversation. The lads were unanimous in wanting to take part in the playoffs. They were willing to, I'll say, forego their wages. You know what they're basically doing is donating the wages back. So the club have obviously said, right, we'll pay whatever it is you want. We want to participate, but we as players and staff have donated it back to the football club to allow us to be able to meet the demands of the testing costs and other costs as well. Which is, when you think about it, you know, these lads are probably looking as a minimum 3 weeks, maximum 5 weeks over the playoffs of coming in 3, 4, 5 times a week and doing something for free. All right, we all love the game, absolutely. But the cost element, whether it be travel, you know, expense, getting your children into childcare, whatever it be, is going to stack up for the lads. But they were absolutely adamant in wanting to put a full stop at the end of our season. We've earned the right, you know, for the majority of the season, we've been in the top 3 or 4 of the league. And we've earned the right to participate. And I think that was the players and our view that we wanted to play at any cost, but we wanted to, you know, finish the season and wanted the supporters to feel an affinity towards what it is we're trying to build as a football club. So for us, for the players to do what they've done, you know, it gives me as big of a sense of pride as either me or Bernard have ever had in a game. You know, you can forget about promotions or wins. Just having a culture of a club where the players are really buying into what we're about just shows we're heading in the direction on and off the pitch.
You half took the question out of my mouth, Donald, because I think it's exceptional. I think it says something about the level of the game as well, because I've always loved our level of the game, and you know, the people involved, although we've earned the right to earn money, you know, that's something that the guys and yourselves, you've earned the right to have a wage, but the thing that comes out of it is that, you know, money's secondary. You know, it's the passion of the game and wanting to win. And so I think it's magnificent. It says a lot about you two as well, that you can drag the people the lads to that situation. What I'd like to talk about is, as a football manager, how do you now start to deal with one of the biggest games you've had in a number of years, when, you know, when was the last time you've played a competitive fixture? So tell us a little bit about how you see that, Jono.
It's funny, isn't it, that although they're going to be played behind the closed doors, I think the game is in 2.5 weeks, so it's probably 17 days from now. And, you know, it's arguably mine and Bernard's, the players, the football club's biggest game in years and years and years. We know, all clubs know, that we're 3 wins from promotion to the National League. So in terms of, from a personal perspective, what me and Bernard said to the lads in the Zoom call is, this is going to talk to myself, this is the biggest month of my career. But you're going into it so disorganised, in the sense of, we're not back in training yet. You know, a lot of the clubs had stole a bit of the march on us because of what we've already talked about. So some of them have been in training for a week. We're still not back in training yet because we haven't had our first round of testing. We still don't know when that will be. Hopefully, early part of next week. So we understand that the constraints that are on us in sense of being together, training, planning. We just can't do it. There's no point me moaning about it, because we took the decision knowing that this would happen. Does it put us at an unfair advantage? Of course it does. But what it also does is it creates that season mentality, I suppose, from the group, that people will say to us, oh, you've got nothing to lose. Well, we have. Of course we've got something to lose. We've got promotion to lose. We're not going to go in there and after the game we'll go, well, we'll give it a good shot, but we've only had a couple of weeks training. We're going in there fully expecting to win promotion. And that's... doesn't matter the opposition. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody. If we're going to do something, like anything else we've always done, we're all in. And the one thing I will say about our group of lads, over the, let's call it a close season, but, you know, during the lockdown, the shape that they've been keeping themselves in is phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. You know, you know what it used to be like 10, 15 years ago in the close season, what players were like, go on holidays, eat rubbish, blah, blah, blah. Our lads have come back absolutely tip-top shape. So we'll have no excuses from that perspective. But from a football manager's and a coach's perspective, Dave, that it's not an ideal scenario. But we've got to get beyond that and just sort of heads down and work towards it.
And yeah, I agree with you. You know, the players nowadays, it certainly look after themselves better. No argument with that at all. I think the thing, Jono, is that what I'm trying to say is that no matter how fit you are, match fitness is a whole different ballgame.
And then I
believe match fitness on big occasions is even a different ballgame, because I was saying to Tim before you came on that in big matches, you can expel energy before you walk out onto the pitch because of nerves. And so. Just with 2.5 weeks to go, how are you structuring? Are you having 11v11s? You don't have to tell me everything. Obviously, you won't. But just how are you dealing with that little bit? Because I know the guys will be physically fit. But how are you working on the mentality and the sort of match fitness?
So it's not as you know, building into a game, you'd be working on your 11v11s, your shape, and off the ball, on the ball, all that type of thing. We're along with the testing, what it's meant to us is that we're going to be probably limited to a 16, 17-man squad because it keeps testing down. It keeps costing down, sorry. So we're saying to probably 3 or 4 of the lads that want to play in the playoffs, look, lads, it's absolutely admirable, you know, what you're offering for us, but we just can't do it. So we're going to have to carry a squad of 16 or 17 lads, which means that we can't do 11v11s, which means that it's not game realistic. But going back to what I said about the programme that our S&C coach have put in place for the lads. So generally, when you come back into pre-season, as you know, you're looking to do your longer stuff and build up that the time frame of running, I suppose, early doors, you know, early part of pre-season. So we feel that, or our strength and conditioning coach, sports scientist, feels that we're already quite close to that. So a lot of the thing, as soon as we come in, will be the shorter stuff, which we wouldn't normally go into till the second half of pre-season, which would generally be your friendlies and your second 3 weeks of pre-season. So we can actually bypass a lot of the stuff by doing the short stuff. Unfortunately, as I said, we're not going to be able to be in a position to do an 11v11. We might be able to create overloads in 10v8, etc.
and work on different dynamics of it. But at this moment in time, we are where we are. It's unprecedented. We've never worked in a pre-season with so little time or players going into such a big game. Because, you know, even if you get the first game of a season wrong, you've got another 41 to put it right.
Yeah.
Whereas at this stage, we know if we get it wrong, we're done, we're out. So it's I suppose, in a lot of ways, it's learning on the job, looking at what other clubs are doing at the top level, you know, whether that be the Premier League teams that have gone back in after lockdown or the Championship clubs that have gone in after lockdown and some of the, you know, the teams in League Two that have already done their playoffs. It's looking at what they've done, thinking about how we can adapt that to how it affects us and doing it from there. So it is all about the planning stage at this moment in time, but we've put the mentality side, and I think that's going to be the major thing going into what's potentially a one-off game, is them understanding that. I think that you'll probably go through the first game, you get through it on pure adrenaline, or especially the early part of the game. And that's where I think these, perhaps having six or seven subs and five being able to be used, you can actually start to strategize what the game plan looks like a little bit more, knowing that you haven't got lads that are match fit, but you've got lads that might be able to do 45 minutes at full blast.
Yeah.
So it is about the mentality side of it, understanding that the 16 and 17 players will probably get used all exactly the same, and seeing what it looks like once we get back in the early part of next week.
Yeah, and just a quickie, sorry Tim, just a quickie, Jono. I said before you came on that I would gamble you would, given the choice to do it or not do it, you would definitely say yes, I'm doing it.
I think we're in the game we're certainly in the game to win. Yeah. You know, that's why we do what we do. They've been the best days of my life have been winning promotions and winning leagues. When I said that, the wife often frowns at me and the kids start crying. But it's very difficult if you've not done it to put into words how it feels, as you well know. So
yeah, it's true.
When I'm talking about me and Bird, when we're in something, we're in it with our whole life, 24/7. So it is a gamble. It looked like a gamble early doors in terms of costing, but with the way that the board have worked it around, it shouldn't be too much of a hit on the club, and especially with the fundraising we've already talked about. It's just a case of the players having the exact same mentality across the board that we all have, you know, and seeing it as the biggest month of our careers. And if it doesn't, listen, if worst case scenario happens and we lose in the first game, then so be it. You know, we learn from that and we start to plan part of the week after the next season anyway. So it's unprecedented time, but it's certainly something that we're really excited about.
Yeah, you mentioned the cost there and the testing and that. Are clubs, that's a cost that the clubs are having to pay themselves? Is it like 100 quid per player or something like that per game? Or
I'll be honest, I'm not 100% sure on what the individual costs are, but it soon adds up when you think about the kit man, one of your coaches, the physio, me and Bernard, one of your coronavirus officers, should we call him, he needs testing. So all of a sudden, probably a third of the people being tested are the ones that aren't actually going to play a part on the pitch. Mm. So that's why, for us especially, you know, it's vitally important that we keep the numbers down. I think I saw on Twitter the other day, Barn had released their squad list for what they were going to use in the playoffs, and there's 25 players on that. Plus, then you're going to have your support staff and things. Yeah. And we're just absolutely nowhere near that. And I would assume the majority of clubs, you know, in the North and South are in the same boat. But the work that has gone on in the background, you know, swapping messages with various managers, the Slough lads and Old Trimmers manager of Boston, the work that's going on in behind the scenes is absolutely unbelievable. You know, the time and effort that people are putting in.
There's you guys that have been featured in documentaries in the past. I think this would be a perfect time to show how much work goes on behind the scenes just to get games on.
Yeah, and it is. The last bit that you just said there about getting games on, people that generally have other jobs, you know, the majority of us are part-time, the work that's going on, and especially at our level, the board, the volunteers, they have other business, they have other jobs, they have other work, they have families. The time that has been put in just to get a game on that's going to be played in front of nobody is absolutely unbelievable. You know, and we hear it quite often about, oh, it's the volunteers and the fans of the lifeblood of non-league football. Well, without them, these playoffs aren't happening. They're just not happening because we've almost been thrown I'm exaggerating about being thrown to the wolves and saying, right, fend for yourself. But no, because it's unprecedented, there's no plan. Nobody's coming and said, this is what you do during a pandemic. We're all making it up as we go along. And in such a short space of time, you know, the boards, the volunteers, the supporters have managed to nearly get this, you know, these playoffs working. So I find it absolutely unbelievable. You know, we're not in a position of what the Premier League and Championship clubs can do, obviously. But pulling in the right direction, working together with our rivals to make sure that we can play against each other and beat each other, but yet working together to make sure that can happen.
Oh, that's good to hear. I mean, it's something that I mentioned a couple of weeks back. That when this all started, non-league all came together, then there became a bit of a disparity and everybody was working for themselves and sort of looking after each other. So it's good to hear that everybody coming together and bringing that together. One last one from me. Obviously, there's much talk about loosening of the lockdown this weekend in England. I guess, though, your wider catchment area includes Wales as well, so it's not going to include them. But if you've only got 16, you know, a very small squad, you're at risk of losing players through anything, even if you know, that you're having your testing, even if they picked up COVID. Are you having to tell your players to wrap themselves up in cotton wool, keep them at home? Or you know, there's so many other variables that may impact on your plans.
Well, we've already lost four players. So four players have left to sign for other clubs. Elton Negretal has moved back to France. We've got a player who's, or one of our experienced lads, Simon Grand. He's just had a baby. His wife's just had a baby. So he's in a position where he can't do anything until we get all the test results back, because he can't put himself in a position where it puts his family at risk, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's a brilliant question. I don't know what people have really thought about, although I have seen quite a few of the clubs come back with 100% negative results. But what happens if we test and we've got seven players that come back positive and we have to quarantine for 14 days? We haven't got any players, literally, still be playing. We haven't played the game and we're registering, you know, some of the supporters. And I don't know the answer to that, because until we have the testing next week, we're hoping we'll probably be going back in on Tuesday with three groups of five, plus the goalies will do their normal stuff, small groups. But if they were to test positive, then all of a sudden, absolutely everything changes again. So
yeah, that's unbelievable point. Yeah. You don't consider that. You just think it's going to happen. But then, cool. Wow, I wonder if they thought about it. I wonder if the league thought, well, there'll be a period if Chester turn up with seven positives. It's not like you're faking anything. You've got the proof of it. Do the league then go, well, we're going to have to put this on hold? You know, have they thought about that even?
On a personal level, I haven't heard anything of contingencies. So if that was to happen, like I say, I think Altrincham, I think Brackley, and maybe Boston, but I'm guessing at the third one, have come back with 100% negative test, which is great news. Mm-hmm. But obviously, because we've not been tested, we don't know. We're surmising that it's going to be fine. But what's to say that something you pick up on your second test, someone picks something up?
Yeah.
So, you know, and then they're surrounding themselves with the players that they've already trained with. The answer is we haven't got a clue. I haven't seen any contingency plans of what it'll look like. Will they just maybe buy a team? I think they just played it by ear, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, if I'm honest with you. But it's really, when you start to think about the real intricacies of what's going on. So there's that many, you know, as Tim said, there's that many variables. Anything could happen.
I think, fingers crossed, you're going to be all right. But I think it is those variables. I think that's, again, shows how magical it is that we're able to get any games on.
Yeah. But Tim, I would say as well, that's something we should be chasing now. And thanks, Jono, for putting it in our laps. But we need to be chasing the powers that be going, have you thought about if this happens? Give us some feedback if that happens, you know. Before I go, I just want to say that, you know, the cost and where everybody has to get tested. You see, if you only had one manager, Jono, you'd have saved the club some money, you know. So that
he's got it in.
That joint managership never works, you know. Nah, listen, I wish you all the very best, mate, you know, you and Bernard and with everyone. But, you know, I wish you the best, and we're going to chase that down, Tim. That's a real good point to be chasing down, Jono.
Well, John,
I really appreciate that, fellas.
Thanks for joining us again. We better let you go because I guess you cleaned your boots since March? That was a concern. You know when you pull them out of the bag.
I've got to dig them out. Yeah, I've got to dig them out. I don't know if they'll fit me anymore. I've put that much weight on, to be honest with you.
Well, right, fellas. Best of luck. Look after yourself and speak to you soon. Thank you.
Take care.
Dave, we've thrown a spanner in his preparations there, but... hopefully we will try and find an answer to that. It's something that's concerning because the National League, for the actual National League, they've announced this date for the Wembley final to take place. So I guess that's an immovable fixture then. We're already working to very tight timescales. But, you know, it could come to the stage where, where we talk about playoffs always having a story. Maybe it's Jono and Bernard and they play. It's who knows?
I just think that one... you know, he sounds upbeat, as he always does, Jono, but, you know, they're looking forward to getting back working because that's when people are at their happiest in football, as you know. But another point that he hit on was the people behind the scenes, the volunteers, you know. But this is a case even where there'll be lots of volunteers putting these games in place. They mightn't even get to see them.
Yeah, and you'll have fans that have, you know, not missed a game for 15 years, and it's a blot on their copybook. It is that double-edged sword of getting games on, but under restrictions.
Yeah, I just think it's a point of when he said it, I just thought, wow, the volunteers. But I do think that we as a show need to chase the leagues. Listen, hopefully it's a question that will never need answered. But I think it's a very valid point that Jono makes, that if the team was to test positive with four or five players, putting them in a situation of not being able to field a team, you know, where are we if that was to happen? Are they just going to cross their fingers and hope it doesn't? We need to chase the powers that be and see what they got to say about it, you know?
So let's head back south and speak to another manager preparing, well, as well as he can without fully knowing the details, for his team to take part in the National South Eliminator Playoff. And another old friend of the show, and always a pleasure to have him back on. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Manager at Dartford FC, Mr. Steve King.
Good afternoon.
It is an afternoon. Is it good, Steve? I know from... reading your columns in the non-league paper over the lockdown period, you were a bit like me, almost resigned to the fact that these playoffs weren't going to happen. And I was talking to someone yesterday, it's almost like a 90s rave where we think there's going to be a party, but we're still waiting the text to that final, all the details to come through, because we still don't know quite where we're going. Are you now in manager match mode and you're just waiting for those details to come through and let other people worry about that?
Oh yeah, definitely. We know it's going to happen. It's not if it might happen. We know it's there now. There's been a lot, you know, like you say, you've read stuff and it's been going on for quite a while. And all we ever wanted was fairness. Mm. We just felt that obviously the country was in the state it was in with the coronavirus. And if they stopped all football, I was very supportive of all that. If the whole football stopped everywhere, but if they were going to restart it at our kind of levels and a level above, then we come under that conference umbrella. If they were going to restart that, then they had to restart us. That's how I felt. If they cancelled all that and cancelled us, then no problem. And I think a lot of managers that I know would have felt the same way. But because they said the National League was going to play out to a certain capacity, why shouldn't we?
Dave, go.
Yeah, no, I agree, Steve. I never thought there was ever going to be a perfect solution because it's a nightmare scenario. So I think we have to accept what they come up with. We've just spoke to Jono up at Chester, and I want to really ask you the same sort of questions, if it makes sense, Kingy. You've now got a massive game in sort of two and a bit weeks' time. You haven't had a game for a very, very long time. How do you go about trying to prepare a team for a massive fixture with that sort of background?
Well, there is no right way or wrong way in my mind. I've took advice from, I've got friends in higher places, higher levels and all that. And they've said, and I mean, I'm top people that have got names and, you know, every qualification under the sun. they said, Steve, there is no right way or wrong way. You can only prepare the way you feel is going to get you the best results. You're going to pick the best players on the day. You ain't going to get your team fit in 2 weeks. Impossible. You've been out for four. We've asked for a little bit of help from the league because we wanted to play friendlies within this period of time. So we arranged to play Barnet this Saturday. We will know later on today whether we're allowed to play that or not. We're still trying to understand why, if we can't play it, why we can't play it. Because it's a scenario where you had to put a protocol, you had to put something into the league which explained how you was going to go about training for a safety option to tick all the boxes and sanitizing and, social distancing in your first session and all your tests and everything. We've demonstrated all of that. We've had all our tests back. No one's got any symptoms at all, staff included. So we've ticked every box. I know Barnet have done the same. They had to give a same proposal to the league that this is how we're going to train, this is what we're going to do. And I know they're very much the same as us. We don't use the building, we don't get changed there. We get in the cars, we drive there, we fill out forms, we take our temperatures, we go and train, we keep the social distancing for the first session. So we've pretty much ticked every single box that EFL clubs do. So yeah. Barnet have done the same. Barnet just go in the car, go to training, get back in the car, don't shower, don't change your room, just go home. So where we've got to the phase of now we can have contact, then we should be able to play that game.
Do you think, Kingy, it's not essential because there's always another way, but it'd be massively beneficial to have at least one game before you play the semi-final?
Oh yeah, 100%. We were trying to get two games in. Were trying to get this Saturday and the following Saturday. Well, if they said no to this Saturday, the following Saturday, you can only play teams that are testing, and you can only play teams in an hour and a half of your vicinity. So that only leaves us Boreham Wood and Barnet. Well, Boreham Wood and Barnet have both got games the following Saturday against Havant and Slough. So we're left nowhere to go, if that makes sense. So it's, again, an unfair advantage. Some teams will be playing games, some teams won't get a game in. So it's not fair, if you like. The whole thing is still wonky, in my opinion.
Yeah, and listen, I think I never really protect the leagues, but I think they're in a difficult situation. I think we'd all respect that. But do you just feel that when they give you the protocol of how this was going to happen, Kingy, it's been too sporadic in information, or it hasn't been tight enough? Yeah, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, it hasn't been. It's not been. We haven't heard 1 week to the next what's going on. We still haven't been given concrete dates, although we should be getting that today at 4 o'clock. There's a Zoom call between the leagues, between the clubs in the league, and we're getting the date today. We've always been working around the figure of the 17th, 18th, around that of July. That's what's always been muted. So we've been working towards that. But yeah, it's. I understand from the league, and I don't want to criticise it, because there's certain criteria, like they couldn't get all of their stuff out until the EFL decided what the EFL were going to do, because that opens up whether there's one space or two spaces going into their league. So they had to sit back. But I think we'd have all understood if they sat back and said, listen, this is the way we're going to do it. We're going to run parallel with the EFL. This is how we're going to run it. So when we get the decision from the EFL, we will pass those decisions on. Then we can all sit back and go, okay, fair enough. They've been that's transparent. That's the way they want to do it. That's fine. That suited everybody. But to not be told that, to guess, to think something's coming out, but then it's coming out, then it's not. And then in the scenario now, I think, to be fair to the league, I think they've waited on BT now. So whether BT can film the games, semi-final, finals, our level, the north, the top level, we still don't know that, and maybe that's what the league's going to be telling us today.
Yeah,
because we wanted to stream it. If they're not filming it, we want to stream it. You know, there's been a lot of costs outlaid for testing and all that. So if we can recoup money, some money back from the club, that you know, that would be great.
And what about with the players, King? You know, you're trying to get your players ready to play in a massive fixture, which should be a full house, and it's going to be an empty house. Is there a psychological save you've got to work on as well?
I think all you can do is just say everybody is in the same boat. No one's going to gain no advantage from that point of view. You know, we go to Slough, you know, would have an advantage because they play on the 3G pitch every week. Well, we train on it every week as well. So,
yeah.
From a surface point of view, I don't see. It's just on the day, you know.
Yeah.
Get that literally. I could get a coin out now and go heads or tails before we get through that game. Any of the top seven has shown this year they can all beat each other. A lot of luck involved. Injuries.
Yeah.
I really can't call how it's going to go, but I think,
and that's to be fair, Steve. That would be the same if there wasn't COVID-19. That would be the same if the season had gone all the way to the end, because there's nothing between you. It would be such a difficult call, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's honestly, sometimes there's runaway winners and all that, but. I haven't seen that this year. From when I went in there with 23 games to go, I never see a runaway winner, and I thought, woof, they're on another level. I just felt everybody was similar. I just felt everybody could beat everybody, and I think that's proven. It's, the top place changed one or two times. Mostly Wealdstone there for the most of the season with Haven, and then you had Bath up there, and then you had Weymouth, Slough. They've all change places and spaces, and then we've sort of made a late run from nowhere, really.
Yeah, you mentioned there that you only came back in October. Do you feel properly at home at Prince's Park now?
Yeah, it's been tough. It's been probably one of the toughest gigs I've had to do, because I just knew I'd watched the team a few times previously. I did some reporting on a couple of the games, and for the radio, I just felt that they'd lost their way. I just felt that there wasn't quite an identity of the group, and I felt that I needed to go in straight away and just hit the ground running and either make, you know, big changes, or think, you know what, there is enough players here to work with some extra ones coming in. And I went to the cautious approach, to be fair. I felt there was good players there, just needed a lift, and then with the bit of quality that I brought in, we managed to just hit the ground running. And, you know, that's very rare. Sometimes you need to gel,
yeah.
But this group just hit the ground, and I was just like, I've got to be honest, I never ever expected it. I never expected it. I was told to come in, keep us in the division. Everyone was honestly was really frightened that we're going to get relegated. They were fifth bottom we was, and we were staring it down the barrel, definitely. And I am, even after all these years, Dave, I'm shocked that we've done what we've done.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. Part of me is wanting to see what you put in for a playoff bonus, but that's only me. I think it's a brilliant. Sometimes it happens like that where you just feel at home quickly, it settles quickly, and it's like you've been there forever, Kingy. You know, the fix works, do you know what I mean? The matchup works for no rhyme or reason, but I think the job you've done since October is well, breaks my heart to tell you, but it's excellent.
Cheers, mate. I still love you, mate.
You know I'm only joking, Kingy. But I just feel, and as I said to Jono, I suppose if someone offered you, do you want to take the playoffs this way, or do you want to scrap it because we can't get it prepared right, you'd take the playoffs, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, I mean we see this from my point of view, looking from it, you know, I see this as a free hit. I never expected this. I expected us, okay, win a few, lose a few, draw a few, crack on, mid-table, right, have a clear out, see what we're going to do next year. But to do what we did, I think it's 50 points in 23 games, 2.2 wow. points per game. To do that, it's a free hit for us. This is the first time I feel like going into a playoffs with no pressure. as in because we're not meant to be here. We gatecrash the party. That's how I feel. Whereas other times when we've got in the playoffs or finals, we've earned that over a whole season with your whole group of players, your players. You've pushed to get that spot and you've made it on merit. Then you're desperate to get over the line. With this one, I just think, you know, like you said, it's come from nowhere.
Yeah.
And we wasn't expecting it, and now we're here. Obviously, we take it, and like you said, it's we definitely take it all day long.
Well, looking forward to some football. One thing, you know, obviously during lockdown, we haven't been able to get out and watch football. And one of the things you're most famous for in non-league circles and well beyond is wherever you go, you bump into Steve King. You know, Steve King is at football. So I want to know, what have you installed a larger satellite dish at home or something just to get every game beamed in? Or
mate, I've been climbing the walls, if I'm honest. I've got a 3-year-old that I've been with, you know, every single day, 7 days a week. You know, 24/7. That's absolutely as much as we love our kids. It's drove me mad. So this is a you know, a welcome return, if I'm honest.
Brilliant.
And what about the we look at the game. Hopefully, you say the weekend that we're looking at is, you know, the 18th, 19th. But then there's if you get through that, you've then got two other. You've got big games back to back after such a long gap. Are you concerned about injuries? We spoke to Jono about he's having to take in a smaller squad into this. Have you been able to expand the squad and get everybody tested so that you've got slightly, you know, a little leeway in case there's any injuries or even failure of tests?
Yeah, I mean, we've tested absolutely everybody that's connected to the club, as in all players that are available. There's only one player that can't play in the competition because his partner's having a baby anytime soon and he didn't want to risk anything, which I understood. But everybody else is available and chomping at the bit to play. I had a couple out on loan, people like Charlie Sheringham, that is allowed to play. So he's come back in. So, you know, firepower, he can win games. He scored goals over the years. So, number wise, we couldn't be in a better shape, if I'm honest.
Well, hopefully, it sounds like you're geared up and ready to go. So hopefully, you can get some proper football matches under your belt ahead of the playoffs and do well in them. But Steve, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. We wish you luck, and we'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, cheers, good luck, Kingy.
Cheers, Dave. Thank you, mate.
Great to talk to you. Good luck, son.
And Dave, you can always send me love without through gritted teeth. You know that.
You know, Boyzone's back in town. I'm delighted.
Yay! Get the band together.
Get the band back. Yeah.
No, top man. All right, mate.
Cheers, mate. Later. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. Dave, again, another manager that has been there, seen there, done that. But interesting, again, to get a different insight from him. He's taken everybody that he can. Resources obviously allow, or they've budgeted for that to an extent. But it does show how complicated getting these games on is going to be.
Yeah. And, you know, and to be fair, he jokes with me, Kingy. I've always got on well with him. You know that. You know, I wish him well. And I think the job he's done is superb. You know, and to be fair, he's done a good job more or less everywhere he's been. I think he's the sort of guy that won't miss an inch of this stuff. He'll include as many as he can. He'll get his squad as prepared as he can. And I think when he's saying that he doesn't feel any pressure, you know, I get that and I understand that. And I'm not trying to, but he'll be putting that on the players. He'll be saying, look, you know, we've nothing to worry about here. We've had a run that's been unbelievable. We're in a playoff situation. He'll be saying everyone else is under pressure. But knowing him like I do, deep down inside, the pressure comes from within anyway. He'll desperately want to do well in it because it's a great opportunity out of nowhere, you know, of a great run of form.
Well, one of the questions I didn't get to ask him was obviously he came so close with Welling last year as well, very in the very same playoff. So there's got to be something in him that you know just wants to go that one extra and get back up into the national.
Listen, you know, his knowledge of non-league football's massive, player ways, he's an encyclopedia. But yeah, and again, it's a shame because when you look at all the teams involved, North and South, Tim, it's set up to be cracking football matches, all of them, you know, and it's hopefully BT do stream them or put them on the box so we can get to see them. Big shame it's not full houses because that's why you know, I used to say to lads, you know, big players produce big moments in big games and the crowd helps you feel that it's a big game, you know. So that's a disappointment to all involved, but I think they could be cracking games, you know.
So let's head on over to Virtual Non-League Paper Towers for our usual weekly roundup and welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Our ever reliable Mr. David Richardson, senior writer at the Non-League Paper. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Tim. Pleasure to be on, as always.
Well, it's always good to get you on. Another interesting week in the world of non-league football. You know, we normally wouldn't be doing the non-league football show. We normally have a holiday, a little pre-season break. But, you know, things have to keep going.
No rest for the wicked.
Well, indeed. And I think I'm very deep on that long list, I think. I'm deep in the hole in that respect. Now, we've had... Well, we're a bit further ahead in the playoff department, shall we say, in the National League. As we record this, we know who's going to play in them, so that's a good start. And we also know when the final and where it'll be held is going to be, the big final, the National League playoff final.
Yeah, that's right. It's been announced that it'll be on August 2nd, which is a Sunday at 3 p.m. At Wembley Stadium, as it has been for the last 8 years. So it's very much sort of tradition now, really, that you know, a team wins their place to the Football League at Wembley. Of course, there won't be any fans there, which would obviously be very different in that sort of grand stadium. But I still think it's really for the players and for the staff who get there to have that day, really, and have that experience. As I say, it will be, you know, a lot different without fans there, but nonetheless, I think it'll be for those players to play a very special occasion. The game will obviously be on BT Sport as well, so fans won't be able to watch it that way. So again, sort of a little bit of progress, I suppose, for things sort of being finalised, but we don't know the other dates yet for the National League eliminators and semi-finals, and that's the same as well at step two.
Yeah, and some other news that came out this week was that there's some more money coming down from the top level. The Premier League donating, I think, £200,000 to help the National League finish their season, I think was the official phrase, which hopefully will go towards helping the clubs with the cost of putting these games on, because they're having to get everybody tested, and there's other various health and safety procedures, risk assessments and everything that has to be put on it. There's a lot of cost for these clubs to be even taking part in these games.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a really good bit of news this week, actually, the £200,000 from the Premier League, which will be going towards the playoff costs. I think hopefully clubs will receive a decent amount of that money and be able to save some of the costs that they will have incurred, as you say, on the various things that they need to stage these games. With something we've really been calling for, really, hasn't it, over the last sort of 3 months, in terms of support from the higher levels and the Premier League, the FA, and the government, etc., in terms of providing some sort of financial relief to the non-league game. So this is a welcome boost. Of course, it would always be nice to see a bit more come down and to be spread lower down the pyramid as well. But this is a nice gesture nonetheless.
Yeah, one of the guests we had on this week's show, Steve King, I know in his recent non-league paper column, was suggesting again that the Premier League clubs should help and embrace non-league clubs and go back to the old style of a decent pre-season friendly with a decent Premier League outfit turning up and helping swell the coffers. Probably this season that's not likely to happen, but the £200,000 coming down from the top into that fund for the National League is great. But if you imagine at least every Premier League club and a Championship club guaranteed playing a non-league club at the non-league club's ground every year, that would more than exceed that £200,000, because it was also help bring in new blood into the clubs, the non-league clubs. Your fans that wouldn't normally go there may then stick around, and that's what we've got to hope, that we can bring football together in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very sort of easy idea, really, and in sort of practice, getting a Premier League club down to a local non-league club. Of course, we have seen it over the years, but as you say, I think it can happen a lot more and should happen more frequently as well in pre-seasons. I think during their time in non-league, we'd see Liverpool play Tranmere, which was always really well received. I think it was quite often a sellout crowd. And that would be the case for these games as well, particularly with the Premier League players coming down. I guess the argument against would be perhaps they wouldn't want to risk injury on pitches with respect and may not be up to the top standard of Premier League ones, and maybe against players who perhaps might get a bit carried away at times and might put in one or two tough challenges on these sort of players, but I do think it is an easy avenue for the Premier League to explore, really, even if it comes into sort of a mandatory regulation of you have to play at least one pre-season friendly at a local non-league club, something like that. I know these non-league clubs would be very grateful for that as well.
Yeah, it would certainly go a long way. And on the pitch front, obviously, we discussed previously the Football Foundation Pitch Preparation Fund, which has helped out clubs considerably when they're trying to get their pitches prepared this year, which is more money effectively that's come down from the top level and helping out clubs in the lower echelons of the pyramid. And again, this week we had the launch of the Club Preparation Fund, I think £500 available to clubs to get them ready for the new season. Any COVID risk assessments and other things that need to be brought in, just to make sure that when we do get football underway, everything can be played properly. So it's good to have that sort of money coming down, and I think it just sows the seed in the mind of people higher up the pyramid that there are important things that need to be done lower down.
Yeah, definitely. I know the Pitch Preparation Fund was very well received by not only non-league clubs, but grassroots and women's teams and clubs and organisations across the country. To see the Club Preparation Fund coming into play is great, really. I believe there's another £2.2 million available for it, and like you said, £500 available for clubs. Again, non-league clubs need all the support they can get, particularly at a time like this. And you'll know from your involvement at Hayes how difficult it is to run a club in normal circumstances. So anything that can be done, during this time, like I said, again, non-league clubs will really greatly receive that help.
One thing we didn't mention on the playoff front, which was nice, we've said about. It's going to be behind closed doors. There's not going to be that element of fan engagement in there. But it was a nice bit of news from Boston United to say that they've been able to extend their time at York Street to at least play their playoffs there as and when they come about, which adds a little bit more magic, I guess, certainly for those wearing a Boston United shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. John Lyons at the paper here has spoken to Craig Elliott this week, the Boston United manager, just talking about the upcoming playoffs and obviously being able to play a sort of final game perhaps at York Street. It is sort of such a big occasion. Of course, as we say, there won't be any fans there, but it's still nice to end on a high note. I think in February they feared that a 3-0 home defeat against Gateshead might have been the last, might have turned out to be the last game at their ground. So yeah, nice bit of news for them that they might be able to go out on a high in the playoffs.
And again, with these playoffs still, you know, you mentioned at the top, we've mentioned through the show that the fixtures, we think we know when they're going to be played, but we still don't know. And then they've got to be finalised. And then I guess the Leeds committees are going to have to meet. And then we've got the various, a couple of clubs suggesting that they want to take all, the demotion because they can't afford to be playing at a certain level of football. And then we've got Bury AFC advertising for a new manager, even though we're not even sure if they're going to be in the new pyramid. We think they will. We think it. The next few weeks, or next, certainly the next couple of months, are going to be very, very busy for anybody involved in football administration.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a sort of series of columns in the paper with Mark Harris, the Northern Premier League chairman, Nick Robinson, Isthmian chairman, and this week we've got the Southern League sort of word on things. And I think generally what you find is it is a quite a big headache really this time for leagues and for the FA to be sorting things out, and of course we don't really know how things are going to pan out in the next couple of months in terms of getting back to normal as well, so it makes it difficult to plan ahead. I think you do have to sympathise for them really, because it is so difficult, and obviously a scenario we could have never envisioned before really. So it is difficult, and like you say, it's there's a lot of sorting out to be done across the board, really. We probably haven't really sort of talked too much about the FA Cup next season and what that might entail for non-league clubs, because usually it starts in early August. I remember going to an extra preliminary time at Sutton Common Rovers last year, in sort of a bit, not too long in August. So, yeah, there's a lot of sorting out to be done, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. Of course, League Cups as well, and County Cups is another thing to be considered. I know the FA have sort of drafted out some plans in that Step 5 and 6 meeting about how the season would look in different scenarios. So yeah, I probably don't envy their roles at this time, but I'm sure they're doing everything they can to make clubs, or rather to help clubs through the next couple of months and with as much guidance as they can.
But talking of difficult jobs and still getting on with it and getting it done and doing it to a greater level, non-league paper, how many issues have you had to do now during lockdown? You're still churning it out, and it's still the perfect read for a Sunday morning.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. It's been hard work. I think it's our 16th week this Sunday without any matches, which actually seems to have flown by, to be honest. It does seem a while ago since we had matches, but at the same time, you know, it seems like we've got to this point pretty quickly. So it's been a tough but pretty rewarding and enjoyable experience. And thankfully, our readers have carried on buying and supporting the paper as well, which has also made it easier to do. So again, there's another packed issue this weekend. Of course, we've got the news of Barrow manager Ian Evatt going to Bolton Wanderers only just a couple of weeks after they were crowned champions. We also hear from Gary Brabin. I spoke to Jake Hyde at Woking Striker. We've got a column from Lee Fowler. As I mentioned, there's also the Southern League column as well, which is an interesting read. Also, Tim Flowers, who was at Surrey Hull Moors last season. And obviously former Blackburn Rovers goalkeeper and also England, won the Premier League with Blackburn. We hear from him about his aim to get back into management. And there's loads more as well throughout the leagues. We've got all specific news pages for each division across the board, right down to Step 5 and 6. So there's something in there for everyone.
and available on digital subscription if you can't get your hard copy of the paper or can't get out to collect a hard copy. David, as ever, always a pleasure to have you on. Have a great week. Stay safe and speak to you soon.
Thanks very much, Tim. You too.
So that's it for this week. Thank you once again to Dave Anderson for joining me. Thanks to all of our guests, and a big thank you as ever to everybody for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season. Join in throughout the week on social media at Non League Show. Dave Anderson at Dave Anderson 78. Caroline Barker's at Caroline Barker. And myself at Tim Fuel. Plus, of course, find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Take a look there too for the Non-League Gaffer Tape. Stay alert, stay safe. Thank you and goodbye.
Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA. JABBA.